Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for this time of year in the season of Advent, especially this week where we get to rejoice in your goodness, that you are a God who makes things right. Lord, we pray that we would be your faithful people and that we would desire you above all things. And Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, I'd like to draw our attention back to the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to go ahead and read some of those verses that were read just a few moments ago. And so just sit back and let the words sink in. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. So this time of year, there's always a lot on our minds, isn't there? Especially with all the energy and all the buildup that goes towards Christmas. Right here at Emmanuel, there's all sorts of things going on, and there's really a buildup, and people are thinking about all sorts of things. Now, I don't know what your calendar looks like, but if you look at my calendar, this coming week, I've got this, 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 and this, and it's a long list of things to do. And my presumption this morning is that most of you have a lot of things going on too, right? When are the kids flying in? When are we going to grandma's house? Am I going to be able to mail out our Christmas cards on time? Will Amazon drop off the package on time? Will UPS be able to find my package? Are we going to be able to fit everything in nice and tight? And this time of year has a lot of buildup. But my other assumption about today is that for most of us with Christmas, it means some time off, perhaps from our job, from school. And again, one of the presumptions that I have is one of those things that's on your mind is vacation. Is that safe to say? Some of us are going on vacation, we'll be taking time off, time away. And typically this time of year, as things are getting colder, vacation isn't really that hard to conceptualize. You know what I mean by this, right? So when you woke up this morning and you looked outside your bedroom window, you saw a landscape that was primarily brown and gray and kind of dark. And it's on days like today where you're thinking, boy, I could go for a few more palm trees around here. Or if you're not a palm trees person, oh, maybe some mountains, a beautiful landscape, you know, because we've got all these harvested fields out here and they're not as pretty as what they are back in October. But maybe you're like, ooh, I like both mountains and palm trees. Or maybe you're an ocean person and you like thinking about a warm breeze along the beach around this time of year. And so vacation tends to be on our minds. And most of us, presumably as upper Midwesterners, this time of year, we typically don't like to get colder on vacation. We like to get warmer. And so because of that, there are a lot of destination places that we like to have for vacation, you know? So if you're a mountains and palm trees kind of person, a place like Las Vegas, Phoenix, you know, or if you're a beach person, you like Florida or Disney World, one of those kinds of things. And I have news to tell you this morning. You didn't realize it, that this morning when you came to church and you walked through the doors of Emmanuel, you didn't realize this, but I'm taking you on a vacation this morning. Yeah. Yeah. But here's the bad news. This vacation destination is not one of those desirable destinations. Hate to say it. You know, there are some vacations that are more desirable than others. And today, the vacation destination, I'm actually taking you to a place called Terrible Town. You guys still want to go on vacation? See, here's the thing about Terrible Town, guys. In Terrible Town, all the buildings. It's not like New York this time of year. It, you know, New York is all built up, flashy, decorated for Christmas, bright flashing lights. Terrible town. The city's a wreck. Aren't flashing lights. Most of the buildings are devastated. There are boards up against the windows. Caution tape all over the place. Sidewalks are chipped up. The roads, horrible. Traffic lights kind of in and out. The other thing about Terrible Town, it's not quite like palm trees and mountains or the ocean. Terrible Town is actually, you know, more like a prison. Not that pretty. The people who live in Terrible Town, most of them are downcast. A lot of people are mourning there. You know, people aren't really walking around the streets with a pep in their step. As a matter of fact, they've kind of got a faint spirit. The people aren't happy. They're pretty downcast, and the city itself is kind of in shambles. But that's where we're going today. You still want to go on vacation, guys? That sound fun to you? Why do I bring this up? Why are we going to Terrible Town? Well, Terrible Town is the setting of the people who are in Isaiah chapter 61. The people in Isaiah, the audience there, are people who were brought up out of their homeland and taken into exile. In 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who was not a nice person, comes into the city of Jerusalem and takes the people who are still there, and he takes them away. And God's people were also exiled by Assyria. The northern kingdom was exiled before the southern kingdom, and then King Nebuchadnezzar comes and takes them away. And they were in exile for 70 long years. Now imagine this. Imagine you were born right as the time King Nebuchadnezzar came to town and you were just a tiny little baby. And your entire life, when you hear your parents talk about home or a destination spot, Jerusalem, all that is and what it seems to you is a fairy tale because you aren't there. But the first time you can ever go back to a place that you've heard is called home is when you're the age of 70. That's a long time. Imagine being one of those exiles who was taken then, and then you're brought back. And the reason God's people are living in Terrible Town is actually mostly their fault. The people of God rebelled and sinned against God, and so God punished them. He took them into exile, and they were there for 70 long years. And they had to live in Terrible Town. There's mourning. People are captive. There's no joyous spirit, but the people are faint and downcast. And so Isaiah writes to the people who are anticipating life beyond exile. And today's text is one of those beautiful texts from the Old Testament that I like to call pure gospel. Because Isaiah is writing to people living in Terrible Town, and he's promising that God is going to come. And when God comes, God is going to give them something that they need. And God is coming to make things right. God is coming to give them what he has. Now, for most of us in our life, we desire a destination, not just a vacation, but we desire a place of arrival, a place where we can finally say, ah. Now, here's what I know. I'm getting used to this area, and it's a very nice area, I have to say. I enjoy living here. But you and I both know that under the hood of most of our lives, we can make it appear as though things are all great and hunky-dory. But underneath the hood of our lives, most of us on some level are living in Terrible Town. We've got reasons to mourn. We've got reasons not to be joyous. And if we're honest with ourselves, more often than not, we contribute to our own problems that exist in Terrible Town. Our bad attitudes, our own struggles, the problems that we deal with, we have to admit that oftentimes we contribute to those too. And so the reason today is a reason to rejoice. is because God is not content with the status of terrible town. I don't know what you're dealing with in life, but my guess is underneath the hood of what's exposed to everybody else out in the world, you're probably going through some challenges. You're probably dealing with some issues, things that perhaps you've caused, but things that are outside of your own control too. And the good news is that Jesus is not content with that. Jesus is coming to give you what he has and to make things right. Isaiah describes how a city in ruins is going to be built back up. And this place that was nothing but a place of devastation is going to be a place of fertile planting. Because Isaiah writes that the people will become oaks of righteousness. That instead of mourning, people will get garments of praise. That people who are downcast will receive a headdress. I love the picture that Isaiah paints because it's that of a bridegroom and a bride. And the bridegroom is coming to make his bride look beautiful again. And this is exactly what Jesus is coming to do for us this Advent season. Jesus is going to come and make things right. The brokenness that we feel in this world, the problems that we ourselves cause, Jesus is going to forgive those and to make us stand tall again. And that promise is for you. Terrible town won't be so terrible anymore, but Jesus comes to give us what he's got. Have you ever noticed that God is one of reversals? The people who are mourning are going to be made glad. The people who are pushed off to the side and those who get stomped on in life, those are the ones who are going to be made known out in the world. And not just them, but also their offspring are going to be known, not because of them, but because of the one who saved them. That people are going to have joy and gladness once again. And that promise, friends, is for you. Jesus is coming to you and your life and your brokenness. He's coming to your terrible town, and he's coming not just on a vacation, but he's coming to dwell there. John writes in the opening of his gospel, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The word dwelt is another verb for tabernacled or pitched a tent. Jesus comes not to just vacation in terrible town. He comes to live there. Take up residency. Build up a house there. And Jesus comes for you. Jesus comes to taste our sadness. And he comes to make things right. Did you know that this Isaiah passage is directly quoted by Jesus in his life? There are a lot of Old Testament passages, and all of Scripture ultimately points to Jesus, but there are those passages that are recorded in Scripture that Jesus specifically mentions. And this one in Isaiah 61 is specifically quoted by Jesus, and I'd like to share that episode with you. And so Jesus in Luke is baptized. He's sent out in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. He overcomes Satan's temptation. And then Jesus begins his earthly ministry. And one of his first stops as he brings the kingdom of God is not to Terrible Town, but to his hometown, to Nazareth. And just like you did today, the people come into church. Jesus goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath morning. And just like we did today, there are scripture readings. And as Jesus comes back to his hometown church, there are all the people and they say, "Oh, it's Jesus. He's one of us. Yeah, good to see you again. Nice to have you back." And it comes time, and Jesus was scheduled to be a weekly reader that week. And so Jesus stands up. He opens the scroll of Isaiah to Isaiah chapter 61, and he reads this passage. When Jesus finishes reading, he rolls up that scroll, puts it back in its place, and the people who are saying, "Wait, isn't this Joseph's son?" "Yeah, Joseph, that carpenter who fixes stuff and does things around our house. That's his son. Isn't that nice that he's here?" But then Jesus, he reads this passage, rolls up the scroll, puts it back in his place, and then those people in his hometown don't give them that hometown welcome that you would normally expect. Instead, they say, wait a minute, who does this guy think he is? Because as Jesus rolls up the scroll, he says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And this upsets his hometown. Wait a minute, this Jesus? Who does he think he is? He thinks he's coming to save us? So what do they do? They try to find Jesus and they want to throw him off a cliff. But because Jesus can't be trapped, he gets out of there and he goes along his own way. The joy, the hope, the surprise, the gladness that Advent brings is knowing that we live in terrible town. Jesus comes to his own hometown and they don't recognize their own need and they try to throw him off a cliff. The joy, surprise, gladness of Advent is knowing that Jesus comes for us, people who have a desperate need. And the good news is that he comes with you in mind. The rest of Jesus' life and his ministry is primarily rejection. They rejected the prophets, they rejected the kings, and now they reject Jesus. He dies on a cross, dies a criminal's death that he doesn't deserve, placed into a tomb, and there that first Easter morning on the third day, by his rising, he shows us that these words in Isaiah are true, that he comes to make things right again, that if a city is in ruins, if God's people are in exile, and he promises to restore them, and sure enough, those exiles come back home, but the worst problem about Terrible Town is that everyone dies. And Jesus promises that death itself will be undone in Terrible Town. And he comes to lift you up out of that too. So that we are no longer faint, so that we no longer mourn, but instead comes to give us joy. Jesus comes to give you what he has, his very own life, forgives you your sins, and he promises to make all things new. That all the brokenness that we have kind of under the hood in all of our lives, Jesus knows all of that, and he promises to make it right once again, to restore you, to build you back up. He calls you by name. He's made you his child, and now he brought you in here today, gives you himself, forgave your sins, and he sends you back out into the world to be a little bit of light out in a dark world, to bring about some of that restoration that our world needs. And this is possible not because we are great, but because we have a faithful God. And so the good news today is that Jesus comes to Terrible Town to make all things new. Would you pray about that with me? Fold your hands, bow your heads, let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Isaiah that are fulfilled in Jesus, that Jesus comes for people who are mourning, for those who are faint in spirit, and he comes to give us his garments of righteousness, his garments of praise, and to build up a broken city. Lord, we pray that we would be people of restoration out in a world that feels so devastated. We thank you that you are faithful to us and that you have fulfilled all your promises. This we pray in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.